This is Talent in the Age of AI, the podcast helping leaders navigate what AI means for their people, their culture, and their future. We talk with the thinkers and practitioners shaping how we work, learn, and lead, and what it takes to keep talent growing in a world that's constantly changing. We create, curate, and connect the insights and the community that helps leaders build AI confidence in themselves and in their teams. Let's dive in. Hello and welcome to Talent in the Age of AI, the podcast that brings you amazing guests and perspectives to be able to enrich your job and how you leverage AI to do your job better. I'm Wendy Wiseman. I'm your host. I'm the founder of Talent in the Age of AI, and we're so pleased that you're a part of this and contributing, listening, joining, participating. Today's guest is so amazing, and I'm going to talk about her for a minute so you can smile at her. Here's what I love about our guest. Her experience is relevant and wide-reaching, and we'll talk about AI's impact on her business and how it relates to yours. Today, we're going to talk about career trajectory and how we can use AI to really inform it, and our guest has an amazing story to share with you. Also, we're going to talk about innovation, and innovation may be a big duh in the world of AI, but actually our guest experience with identifying innovation will be edifying for you and instructional. And then last, we're going to talk about pricing and value. And it's one thing that you may not have expected from a leadership consultant, but again, our guest's story and experience is going to be so interesting and idea generating for you. And so with no further ado, I'm happy to welcome Dr. Sharon Spano to Talent in the Age of AI's podcast. Her company's tagline is maximizing human potential in business and life. And she's an executive coach and consultant for high impact leaders. And I know many of you on this call are high impact leaders. And the other thing about you may be something Sharon's identified. Sometimes, like me, when we've reached certain levels, we can feel a little stuck and we don't know where to go next. And Sharon's gift is she helps identify those aha moments that allow you to grow beyond the next level, grow your business, and change your life. Her company offers masterclasses, an amazing podcast called The Other Side of Potential. I love that name and the edification of what it does. Business growth strategies, workshops, and coaching. She kind of does it all. So Dr. Sharon Spano, welcome.
Thank you so much, Wendy. I'm excited to be here today and to have this conversation. AI is something I'm just very passionate about, as I know you are, and I know your listeners probably are. So I look forward to what we unpack here today.
I think that's so great. Thank you. And, you know, I kind of teed up three topics to talk about, people like bite size of three. And I want to tell you something. Sharon's experiences are personal, yet they affect her business and her life. And they're relevant to every single person listening today. Vice President of Human Resources, Director of Talent and Development, CLO, CFO, fellow consultants in the field, and vendors that support us in our quest to apply AI in the world of talent today. And so, Sharon, I was so enamored with our conversation about how you're using AI. And you have some specific examples and opinions on how it can conform, how it can inform what we're doing every day of our lives. And work should be full of joy and meaningful, not tedium or stressful. And so I want to start with talking about the career trajectory aha moment that you had.
Well, thank you for that. First, I want to say that I think we're all aware that all AI bots or agents, whatever we want to call them, are not equal yet. You know, we're still in that process, so some are working better than others. I have created and generated a very amazing, what I'll call relationship, if you will, for lack of a better word, with ChatGPT. And what I think is important for listeners who may still be new into the territory to understand is that, you know, as we've all heard and learned through these last few years, chat or AI in general learns as it goes. And so in these few years that I've been using it, I mean, chat really does, as I told you in our earlier conversation, really now has come to know who Sharon Spano is, knows my work. Of course, like most of us, and you in particular, we're all over the internet. You know, we've written lots of things, and I've got books and podcasts, as you mentioned. So chat knows who I am, knows my voice, knows my work, and that's been very helpful. But more importantly, as we've started to build these various conversations over certain projects, we've really tuned into what now feels to me like a boardroom of geniuses inside my computer that can help me really unravel whatever questions or thoughts or content development I might be engaged in at the moment. So the moment that you're talking about, as I shared with you, is I have been probably for the last 6 months really struggling with one. It first started with, of course, a desire to rebrand my podcast, The Other Side of Potential, that you mentioned. We've done that. We have over 300, I think close to 30 episodes. I love doing it, but I wanted something new and different. So I went through a lengthy process trying to figure it out, and had a team around me, and we did all the work. But I found myself just really dragging on the implementation and the actual launch. I just couldn't figure out. I'm not a procrastinator, but for whatever reason, I was definitely in that state of procrastination. And I took the holiday break, as we all do through the Christmas, New Year. And I literally woke up that Saturday right before New Year's and realized that the problem I was having is it was the wrong podcast, that it is really not what I want to be doing at this stage of my career. And I have an interest that I wanted to pursue when I had time, but of course, never could find the time. And then there were two roadblocks. One, and just to clarify a little bit more, I wanted to do something for families and parents who have lost a child, because I myself, as you well know, have lost my son in 2008. But it's really not that much in alignment with my work. It was more a passion. And what was holding me back, Wendy, was trying to decide, do I do it for parents, which I knew could be very overwhelming very quickly, or do I do it for professionals? But then I kept hitting my head up against a wall that said, but, you know, you're not trained in bereavement. And how could you possibly offer anything to a professional who may have training in bereavement? Even as I know that bereavement for a parent is different for a variety of reasons. So to get to chat, I finally got up really early that Saturday morning. And I just said to chat, what podcasts are out there on parental grieving? Gave me 4 or 5, explained what they were about, and said, but that's not the space you're in. I mean, it really knew already that my work would be different. So I said, okay, if I wanted to, and we start the conversation, if I wanted to do one, what would it be? And well, I'm embarrassed to tell you, but 4 hours later, after we went back and forth reiterating what it could be, with me pushing it a little bit further, and what about this nuance, and what about this nuance, chat finally said, you are not talking about just a podcast, you're talking about a new field. And here's the gaps. And here is why you are absolutely positioned and have the authority to address this specific topic, because not only my lived experience, but my training in human development, my training in trauma, I mean, my training in systems, and particularly family systems. And what Chad made me aware of and gave me the confidence to know is that I don't just have, it really pointed out that most people have maybe 2 of those areas of expertise, where I have 3. And it gave me the confidence and really ignited my passion to make the decision to move in this direction, something I've been wanting to do for a very, very long time. And then within that, which was a very long time to be doing all this, but we actually then began to work through titles and descriptors, you know, for Buzzsprout and Spotify, and, you know, went through the curriculum, and I mean, just all of it. It was all done within 4 hours, and a new trajectory for me that I don't know that I would have come to otherwise. And as I mentioned to you when we spoke earlier, what was so fascinating to me was that AI helped me see my expertise over time, things I'd forgotten about, really spearheaded in me a more analytical way, and also a more innovative and creative way to think about this potential. It was such an amazing experience. And I'm so excited with where I'm going with this particular project right now.
I'm excited to hear more about it. Here's the connection it makes to our viewers, in addition to that, what you're talking about creating. I love that you said AI is like a board full of geniuses. And wow, what a way to put that. And if we rely on it as that, trusted advisors, a group of information from people, even though we know it's combing the internet, that can respond back to us, reflect back to us, remind us of everything that we've done. I also love that it helped bump you out of what sounded like high-centeredness. You just couldn't understand where to go next, and it helped. And I really appreciate that you spent 4 hours with it. I think that we're often wanting quick answers. We want to put in one prompt and come back with the answer, but you were so patient. And I know that Jason in our group, a co-founder, he'll work a lot with massaging prompts, right? The first input and the first output are never what you should go with, especially if you're not going to run it through your brain. So your experience and your process are so helpful for this audience. And how this works is when you talk about career trajectory, advising those on your teams in HR, talent and development, what a way to help your teammates explore their strengths and skills and abilities that they might have forgotten that they know how to do. They might not appreciate that they know how to do it. Maybe they don't recognize it or it's never been acknowledged. And confidence among employees in organizations is a really big thing. Employers want their employees to be confident, step forward, give an idea, speak out, trust themselves. And so if they went through this same exercise with the guidance of the talent development leader, chief learning officer, especially their high potential people, can you imagine the confidence, but also unearthing skills that maybe we've never asked an employee what they're all capable of doing? And AI, chat, Gemini, name your search engine, but they could help unearth, you know, all your volunteer experience is really does inform your job as a programmer. And I don't know how, but it could make the leap. So I really love that example of career trajectory. And what are your thoughts on my connection to our audience?
Well, I think what you said is so well stated, because I think another piece that we, you know, we had, particularly in the early years, we had so much conversation about learning to do the right prompt and garbage in, garbage out, that kind of thing. Again, if you're staying with one platform, I guess that's the right terminology there. Like I think of chat as a platform. It learns, and you know, if you go behind the scenes, it'll say, she preferred this over this. I mean, it starts to learn what I like. I no longer really have to worry much about prompts. I literally am having conversations. I mean, I'm typing in or I speak in just as I would if I had a team in front of me where we were having a creative session, because it understands me so well that it can just come back again with really, the more intelligent I am, the more intelligent my responses are. And what I really want to stress for anyone listening, regardless if it's about career trajectory or otherwise, whenever I had a query about something and I asked that question, like for instance, I was concerned that we were narrowing the podcast to just parents. And I said, well, what about siblings and grandparents? And chat would always come back in and say, you are so right to ask that question, because that is a very important nuance, but it's not for this season. We first need to lay the foundation of what the podcast is about. Those guests we would, that those would be episodes, for instance, in the second season. When I was brave enough to ask the question, thinking, oh man, this might be silly or am I being too nitpicky, it would come back and say, no, that is the next best question. And here's why. And then it gives me the logic behind it. So it's understanding logic that I don't even realize I have. The very fact that I'm asking the question points to the level of expertise that exists that I'm not even aware of. It's at a subconscious level that chat can pick up and point out to me and really lay out a sound analysis for why the question was valid. And then, oh, by the way, here's the answer to that question and what you need to know next. It's just incredible. When you think about that potential, particularly if you're thinking about some shift in your career or you're trying to stand out in your career, you know, maybe you're not sure if I should go into the meeting and bring up this question or this, you know, fact, share this, whatever, and you can have that dialogue. I mean, I'm actually pointing my clients to that same kind of experience. I just had a client that went through and was very nervous about going in for a compensation plan meeting. So he and I did the role playing. We talked all about it. And then there was one piece and I said, you know, go into chat and kind of play with this a little bit and see what comes up for you in terms of maybe even better language that, you know, you're more comfortable with. And of course, he did all that and wound up getting exactly what he asked for. So I think for any type of career trajectory or issue, there's just an incredible space there for you to learn and gain the confidence, but not only the confidence, the logical answers and even the questions that you should be asking as you're moving through all of that.
Sharon, I was just a guest on a podcast today and tables were turned and the question was, where's AI going to be in 2 to 3 years? And I said, I think in less than 1 year, the type of AI prompt and platform like you use that's getting to know you, I think it's going to proactively ping you one day and go, hey, Sharon, I know you're working on this. I have an idea for you.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be our right arm with proactively thinking the next level for us. Or you had an idea for season one. It's not it. Yeah. But FYI, it's been a year. We're at season two. I just really think it's going to be proactively offering to those that it knows.
I think you're right about that. I think, though, we have to also be diligent because I could find myself easily enough getting to rely on it too much and then not using my own creative juices. So as it stands for me now, it's actually spearheading my creative thought, just as if I had a team full of people the way I used to have. You know, now I outsource everything. Back in the day, I'd go into the conference room, we'd sit and brainstorm for 4 hours. Right. But I don't have that now, except I do with chat.
You know, you talked about it's like a brainstorming team, and you're exactly right. What's happening in organizations today is a dearth of ideas. You know, we need ideas, and we need people that embrace everything we're doing. They get their heads around the strategy, they know where we are, and then it yields a good idea. And so if this is our teammate, if this is our group of five, or how many ever are sitting out there, they give us ideas, it's great. So dovetailing from ideas to the next topic is innovation. And I love how AI kind of did help you unearth a new market, a new initiative, or bring it to life. And I appreciate that so much that, you know, think about it for our audience, HR professionals, learning and development. Imagine how they could put in prompts to identify a new initiative in their own departments or the business's department because they know how to trust that there could be innovation through AI. Would you speak to that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the possibilities are just endless because, you know, if you as one human has an idea or, for instance, this is our company and we're struggling with this situation, but I'm not really clear what to do about it based on my role within the company. Because I know a lot of times I've worked with many, many HR VPs through the years, and sometimes they feel their hands are tied, particularly in an entrepreneurial environment. I've worked in many where the CEO has HR because he has to, but he really feels like they're the gatekeeper,
rule people.
Yeah, the rule keeper, and they really get in my way kind of thing. And they very often don't want to hear what HR has to say. But then there again, you can train AI to know this is the business, this is the personality I'm dealing with. I do a lot of work using archetypes. So you could archetype your CEO, for instance. Here's what he's like. Give me an archetype. Then based on the archetype and the situation that I'm up against, what thoughts do you have? What ideas do you have? What practices do you have? Whatever it is you're looking to do, programs, and just see what comes up. I do a variety of that, you know, for my business and for my clients. And I'm always amazed at the results that I get. And then again, it spearheads something in me. And then I ask the next question and we take it deeper. You know, and the next question, we take it deeper until eventually, you know, I've got, wow. One of the things I love about AI is when you get one response at the end, there's always two or three questions of, would you like me to give you this now? Well, I hadn't even thought of that.
Right.
Like the other day, because we're working on the music for the podcast, and it said, would you like me to give you the script testing or something? What it was, I didn't even know what that was. I said, what are you talking about? Well, then it showed me, and what it was talking about was putting my intro and outro, lining it up with the music in a specific way in terms of what second, how long, you know, should the music run. And it was the exact precise descriptor that I needed to give to my editor, so she knew where to bring in, you know, my intro with in conjunction with the music and how to segue out of it. She probably would have known that anyway, but I didn't know what that was. And yeah. I thought, well, here's another piece of information that I know I need to pay attention to with respect to editing that I normally wouldn't have thought about.
Yeah. So that proactive suggestion, which is my insight may not be that great because it already does it. I love that. So now imagine training and development, and there's a department. So every person is different. And my great insight, thankfully, 20 years ago, was learning that, guess what? Everybody doesn't think like me. I was shocked.
Yeah. That
and is awesome. We use a tool called Emergenetics. It could be predictive index. It could be DISC, et cetera. And that helps us really understand that the person in the office next to me, I think they completely understand what's coming out of my mouth because I'm a visual person and I communicate that way. Well, they're a technical, structural person and they think you are a woo-woo person. I don't understand you. So we have these tools and we can study them and say, when I go approach Sharon, she's a logical PhD and she needs me to come in with facts and figures and not this drawing that Wendy would do because I'm visual. And that's great. And those tools sit there. And I know in our office, they have sat there in a notebook. And I've encouraged people, hey, when you're going to go work with the accountant, here's how she thinks, approach her this way. Now, imagine what you talked about. If you could plug in, and we all by permission in a department say, yeah, you can plug in my world. And then AI helps us understand how to approach someone and how they think. Right. And, you know, going to the CEO, CFO, COO, even department of the or head of the IT department, knowing how to go in with a proposal that is perceived through their frontal cortex. So, right. There's a book called You Have to Be Believed to Be Heard. So you got to walk in and immediately catch you. This is kind of sounds like what you did. It helps you really identify who I'm talking to and what they need to know that comes out of my mouth. So it's not just how I think, because it may not be an effective conversation.
Right. Yeah.
And HR or training and development could help everyone in an organization be better communicators. And communication is always the issue with any organization. I don't care what it is.
I agree. Totally. Well, I'll tell you one way that I did this to your point, if whatever assessment you use, whatever measurement or instrument you use, my PhD work is in the stages of human development. And just to give a quick synopsis of that, there's 12 stages that we know of based on the research. And so I taught chat, you know, about the stages, you know, went out and read all the stuff out there. So it wasn't a big effort for me. I just said, this is the framework I'm using. You need to know that. And then from there, many, many times I've gone in and said, okay, I have a client here who I believe is at this stage. And here's how it's looking specific to him or her. And then we'll develop an archetype together for that person because they don't really care about what stage they're at so much as wanting to understand their own behaviors better and how they think and, you know, what their awareness is or isn't. And so it's fascinating to me that it can know, because the stages are very complicated and there aren't a lot of people that understand them. I mean, it takes a lot of work to understand them. So chat now has that understanding that that is the basis of my work. Then I even took it a step further because so many people want to take the assessment, but it's expensive. And so I just created with chat, I first went in and I created a quiz on the six main ones that we see in the workforce.
Oh.
And then I had chat check it against the stages to see if I had done a good enough job. And then it analyzed it and spit it back out to me with refinement. And so now I feel really good. I wish I had ChatGPT when I was doing my dissertation, because I feel really good now that the assessment, it's a simple quiz that we put on my website, but I feel really good about it because it's been validated through all the literature that's out there. It wasn't just, you know, me coming up with the questions, although I did the initial ones. So to your point, I think for HR, think about it, whatever instrument they chose, let's say it is the DISC or whatever it is, to be able to lean into that with greater depth. And we never want to put labels on people or colleagues for certain, but to help us understand, as you said, particularly, you know, because they get so many people coming in saying, I'm having trouble with my COO, or I'm having trouble with my manager, or you know, the manager that's having trouble with the direct report, whatever. There's room for that level of depth to initiate a conversation of understanding so that the communication and the outcomes can be more meaningful and result-oriented without so much hard work of trying to figure each other out the hard way, as we've done through centuries and not done a very good job of it.
No. Well, I love that good advice and food for thought about trying something. And that's where we are here, where AI is new and it's been forced upon us and we know we must use it, but to be able to approach it and harness it, embrace it, as we say on our site. And then you gave me one more really cool example of how you did it, and it's valuing our time. Mm-hmm. And valuing our strengths. And there's an X price out there on per hour, like in my advertising business. But there's value pricing. And we need a sanity check of where we fall in line with the other people that do it, but also based on what we truly bring to the table that should be valued appropriately. And think about this for organizations that HR people, are we paying our people appropriately for their strengths? I don't know. There's a table, or maybe there's only so much I can pay, but does everybody need to be paid the same thing and all that stuff? So you had an aha moment about your value and your pricing. Will you please share that with us?
Yeah, it was just, gosh, again, another confidence builder, because I always struggle. I mean, I'm sticker shocked at the price of tomatoes these days, you know, and what it costs to fly across country. So
Rocket.
I still struggle with, when do I increase prices, knowing that, you know, what your value is in the market to a degree, but things are changing and they vary so much. And I think we have to remember we're in the age of attention, and the age of attention doesn't necessarily mean you have expertise. It's how loud you are and how visible you are. And so you're fighting all of that as well. And where do I fit in that conversation when it comes to pricing? So I'm pretty clear and I'm comfortable with my overall pricing, but of course you're always going to have one client that is asking you to come down on the proposal. That's just a given.
Right.
And so I had a proposal before a client. It was a pretty substantial proposal. And the old saying is, don't take it down because that looks like weakness, just add more value. And I'm pretty good at that part of it, but he literally wanted both. He wanted the added value. He wanted me to do more if I could, but also for a lesser price. And I knew this is just a client. That's just his way. It wasn't even about the money. It's just his way. He needs to go through that process. So I put it before chat and I said, you know, my price points of these programs, this is what the contract is about. What do you think is the best way to do it here? It gave me, again, an analysis, three options, very clearly stated, though, you are not at this level. You are not a transactional coach. Your time is more valuable. Your work is more transformational. Therefore, you cannot do this, meaning A, don't do A, because that's going to devalue your work. And then the other two options were ways that I could increase the value without taking down the price point too much. And even the language on how to explain it to the CEO, which I probably would have come up, I'm pretty good at that on my own anyway, but it was like it was like Sharon Spano language plus. It was like more than even I could do on my own. And I was like, wow, again, the confidence it gave me, like, I'm not just pulling this out of the sky. This is the value of the work. This is the value of my expertise. And here's the number. And I gave it to the client with great confidence. And he was like, oh, okay, sounds good. and it was a done deal.
I love that.
I really enjoyed that moment because it just feels really good to have an it on the other side of the screen that can kind of kick back to you like, no, this is who you are in the field, in the market. You're this, you're not this. Not saying that one is better than the other, but just recognizing based on my experience and expertise, I fit in this store, not this store.
It's a value advisor and that was free.
And again, I mean, how many of us, you go through your career and you do all these things, you forget, you know, all those things. I do. I don't remember that. Oh my God. Yeah, I did do all of that. And yeah. I've earned my spot here now, you know. And even if you haven't had a long career where you've done a lot of things, whatever you've done is whatever you've done. And you deserve to be aware of it, if not acknowledged for it, and know your position in the marketplace. So I think for HR and looking at the bigger picture of who people are in the playing field, if you're wondering and needing new pricing structures around salaries or even products, I mean, it's a good way to look at it and just have a different set of analysis come forth for you to make those decisions.
I think that's exactly right. It's a tool. Uh-huh. And this is what we're talking about, embracing this tool as your brainstorm team, as your financial, as your value pricing advisor.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, run it through your own brain to make it make sense.
Yeah.
Well, I love these three core tenets that you shared your experience with me and how we can make the leap toward our audience listening today. It's Dr. Sharon Spano, and her company maximizes human potential in business and in life. So your website is SharonSpano.com.
Yes.
It's so easy.
Well, yeah, I've had it since, I mean, websites. I had one of the first websites ever. I date myself here a bit. Back in the day when you used to have to pay thousands and thousands of dollars for somebody to create a website. Seems kind of silly now that we did all that, but I've had it forever. For whatever reason, we just kept it as my name rather than the company name, and it's worked.
I love that. Well, again, look at you. You're out there in the market. You have clients across the nation. And you have a wealth of information and experience. And I can't tell you how thankful we are that you would spend these 34 minutes with us today to share your thoughts on AI, because you're an early adopter in a lot of ways. A field of not so early adopters.
Yeah, I mean, I'm one that's always loved technology. My son was one of the first to have a home computer, and as was I. And I just think it's an incredible space for us in the world today. It has its downsides, but if we use it properly, I mean, there's just no end to what we can learn and create as a result of you know, what's happening in today's very exciting world.
I love it. And Sharon, our goal is to have you host a webinar where there can be interactivity with the guest in this world. We'll announce that later and work with you on capturing your valuable time to do that. But thank you for these sound bites. AI can be a board full of geniuses. It bumps us out of our high-centeredness and 4 hours later teaches us all the patience of giving AI a break. It may not understand your first prompt, but it's going to try. And so don't get frustrated after four prompts and give up on it. Just keep massaging and saying, teaching it. We're teaching it. So that it does deliver this team of brainstorming experts to give us ideas. I'm so incredibly thankful for you and your time today. I wish you best on your new venture. It's very important for the world. and then what you do every day to maximize the human potential of lives and in business.
Thank you so much. Great
to be with you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Talent in the Age of AI. If this conversation gave you new ways to grow in your own work and to better support your people, follow the show and share it with others in your HR and talent network. Members get even more. Full episode transcripts, extended show notes, and companion resources to help you put these insights into action. Learn more and join us at talentintheageofai.com. We're here to help leaders create, curate, and connect what's needed to build tomorrow's workforce today. See you next time.